All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're still progressing along here. 1 John chapter 2. Now, here's what we're doing. In our study, we're going through 1 John. 1 John talks about walking in the light, and that's what we want to do. We want to learn to walk in the light because whether you realize it or not, we're living in a world of darkness. We've always lived in a world of darkness where the world system and the sinfulness of the world dominates, where Satan and his minions dominate because he's the god of this world. And it's easy to just conform to that darkness and live in that darkness. But no, you and I as believers in Christ, as his children, have been called to be children of the light. We're to walk in the light. And so John has been focused on that in this letter. And I think it's interesting. We're going to see a pattern in his writing today. I think he makes the encouragement. So if you think back to chapter 1, he talks about Jesus being the main thing and about that we are told about Jesus so that our joy may be complete. Now, when we talk about joy, we're not talking about happiness in bad times. We're talking about joy that we have in the Lord. And because of that, he then talks about the whole issue of walking in the light, which then led into his whole discussion of our sin. And he was pretty brutal about the issue of our sin. Because he said, if you don't think you sin, you're a liar. Now, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. But if you don't even think you have sin, you deceive yourself. You live in darkness. That was pretty brutal. But here's the pattern of how John writes. As soon as he does that, he gives an encouragement. He says, I'm writing to you that you don't sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate. You have someone who comes alongside. You have Jesus. He then proceeds into the next thing of telling us about that if you're going to walk with him and walk in the light, that means you got to walk in obedience. Because if you're walking in obedience, that means you're not in darkness. But if you aren't walking in obedience, and specifically, he talks about the whole issue of loving other people, specifically loving other brothers and sisters in Christ. If you say you hate someone, then you're in darkness. You're lying to yourself. But if you love someone, the love of God is flowing out of your life. And so again, he's setting up this whole issue in a way, a negative thing about don't be fooling yourself. It's about being obedient and obedient to the command to love each other. Now, here's what happens. I don't know about you, but I kind of get this way. If I'm constantly having it pointed out to me where I'm going wrong, my tendency, this is George's tendency, maybe you're different, my tendency is to be defeated. My tendency is to say, well, man, I just don't measure up. I mean, think about it. The whole concept that I'm to love other people and not dislike them, not hate them, I mean, go through life without not wanting to hate somebody. You ever tried that? It's hard. And so sometimes you fail, right? It's like the whole thing of go through life without sinning, but you do sin. Thankfully, we have an advocate, right? But here's what I want you to see. He follows up the very next section with some positive, with some reassurance. Because if you just look at what he's talking about, like we looked at the three things he talked about with regard to sin, then we looked at the three things with regards to our obedience and loving other people, it's really easy to get defeated, but he's going to come alongside of us and he's going to tell us some positive things that you and I need to remember, some spiritual realities that we need to embrace as we try to be the people that he wants us to be in this world, as we try to live in the light. You and I need to embrace some spiritual realities. What are they? Well, we're going to look at them here in verses 12 through 14. Let's look at these three verses. Here's what he writes. Seems like an odd thing to say in the midst of all that he's been talking about. Why does he bring it up? He's bringing it up just to encourage us. Here's what he says. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, here's what I want you to see, because it's real easy, all right? Am I the only one that's like this? When you realize that you're not living up to what you're supposed to do as a believer, it's easy to get defeated. I get that way. Do you get that way? When you're not living up to what God's calling from you, whether it's dealing with the sin in your life, whether it's being the loving person that you need to be with others, especially other brothers and sisters in Christ, it's real easy with that defeat. And let me just kind of remind you, you have somebody who will come along and remind you that you're not living up to it. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren, is he not? And so he accuses us. It's real easy for us to say, well, no wonder God's not blessing me. No wonder God's not using us, because there's no way. It's just a defeating thing. I might as well just give it up. And a lot of Christians, I'll be honest with you, have no expectations from God. They live in defeat. They live in defeat. So he comes along, and in these three verses, he's going to remind us of some truths. Now, how he does it is very interesting. It's kind of led to some scholarly discussion. Is he addressing three different groups of people based on their maturity? Because he said, my little children, which, by the way, means little born ones, literally. Or fathers, maybe that's a different level of spiritual maturity. Or young men. But he kind of uses them interchangeably, and the reality is he's actually talking about all of us and our different approaches to our Christian life. Some of us were like children. We need to be reminded of things. Some of us are like fathers, a little bit mature. Some are like young men, bold or whatever. But here's the things that he's going to tell us. We're going to see eight truths here today. Eight things for you to grasp a hold of. Eight things for you to be secure in your relationship with him. Yes, you fail, you sin, but remember, he told you, you have an advocate, right? Who paid the penalty for your sin. Yes, you do dislike people and aren't perfect in your love, but what? You're forgiven, and you can go on and do what's right, but you need to remind yourself of some truths. So let's look at these eight together. I think they're very powerful. Here's the first one. Look with me at verse 12. You and I have to be constantly reminded of this. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Here's the first truth that you and I need to grasp. Spiritual reality. Here it is. You need to be reminded that you are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. You need to be reminded. What do you mean I need to be reminded? I find sometimes that people get this mindset in their mind that their forgiveness, they think, has to do with them. They have this expectation, well, he's just going to forgive me. So they flippantly do their sin. Or they get so defeated by their sin, they don't even think that God can forgive them because they're not worthy or whatever. No. I want you to understand. The fact that you're forgiven, you've got to grasp a hold of this truth, is not because of you. Can I say that again? The fact that you're forgiven is not because of you, because let me just be honest, you're just not that good. Can I say that again? You're just not that good. There's not something special about you that God knew that nobody else knew. Oh yeah, he's one of the ones. We'll forgive him. No, it has nothing to do with you. The whole issue of you being forgiven, he says right here, I'm writing you to remind you, I'm writing you to tell you, you are forgiven for whose sake? It isn't for your sake. It's for Jesus Christ's sake. It's for him who went to the cross because of his obedience. It's for his sake as a result of what he did for you, not because of you. Not because of who you are or who you think you are or what you've done, haven't done. You're forgiven because of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's because of him. It's never been about you. Really? Yeah, it's never been about you. His grace is grace. And so that's, sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Because I'll tell you what, if you're reminded of that, that will humble you. What do you mean humble me? If you're reminded that it's your forgiveness of your sins and having it washed away, what you've done, had nothing to do with you, it really humbles you because you realize, man, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this at all. Because a lot of times we think we deserve things because we've achieved it. You didn't achieve your forgiveness. You haven't done anything. It's for his name's sake. That's the first truth. Okay, let's go on. We're going to look at a second truth here. Here's the second reality. Look with me again. Look at verse 13. I'm writing to you, fathers. So he's again approaching us in a different way as fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. You need to be reminded that you know Jesus Christ as deity. Deity. From the beginning. He used that same term, in the beginning, that which was from the beginning. He used it in his gospel, in the first chapter, from the beginning. That talks about the reality that when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about Jesus as God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Why? Because I think sometimes today in our Christianity, we have forgotten the whole holiness of God. We've forgotten the whole awe of who he is, even by coming into his place. We've forgotten it because in our minds, we just think he's like Bubba. He's my friend. Well, yeah, you know what? The scripture says he sticks closer than a friend. Yes. Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you. He ain't your friend. He's God. And he has a relationship with you, but he's God. Do you understand? And sometimes we need to be reminded of that because we just, but I'll be honest with you, if he's just a friend, that may compel you to do what's right, but it may not compel you to do what's right. Because think about when you're hanging out with some of your friends. If I think about hanging out with some of my friends, you know, some days I have a bad hair day. Yes, I know I don't have much left, but I do have a bad hair day. And so when I'm with my friends, it's reflected in the way that I act. And I think, well, I'm okay. They're just my friends. They'll be okay with that. And my friends are very tolerant of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're very gracious with me. I'm very gracious with them. But I'm going to be honest with you. That's because they're my friend. And we have this attitude. I can get away with some things with my friends. I can get away with. No, we carry that over in our thinking that Jesus is my friend. So therefore, he just turns a blind eye to my junk. No, he doesn't turn a blind eye. And you need to be reminded of that. You need to be reminded that, yes, you are forgiven for his name's sake, but you've known him, if you should be a little bit more mature in your life, to know that you know the one who's existed from the beginning. And just grasping that point will change you. And I think a lot of Christians need to get changed by just grasping that point, that we're talking about God here. Not a religion, not some service we're attending, but the one who has existed from the beginning. We need to understand that. Here's the third one. This is what I think you and I need to grasp. Look with me again, verse 13. He says this, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. All right, here it is. You need to be reminded that you've overcome Satan. You know, we need to be reminded that we've won the victory through Jesus, but some people just need to know that there's a battle. Some people need to just wake up to the reality that you're just not in conflict with the world system. You're in conflict with a spiritual reality that exists in this world that is the from which all darkness comes from, the one who is the accuser of the brethren, the one who is the liar, who is a murderer, Satan. And that victory has been won. You don't need to be scared of him. I remember years ago when I with Empower Ministries, they would send me, and I went to Haiti. This would have been back in 2010, so that's about 14, 15 years ago. And I did some teaching there, and I was talking to some of the Haitian. You know, Haiti is a dark place filled with evil that goes on among the people there. And I remember talking to some a Haitian pastor, and I asked him, "How do you guys live with this?" And he just kind of laughed at me, like, what do you mean? How do we live with this? We just do. Aren't you afraid of it? Why should we be afraid of it? We have Jesus. And their curses and their this, that, or another has no effect on us. Because we belong to the Lord. That's how we live here. And I thought, man, what a perspective. Here's a guy who lives in a world of darkness, and he's not afraid because he knows he belongs to who? The Lord. But us? It's like me walking in the back sometimes, and I'm hearing a noise. What's that? And it's a baby doll in the nursery. That's starting to be a regular thing now. You know what I'm saying? Freaking me out. Mama, you know, whatever. And where does that come from? We don't grasp the reality of our truth that we belong to him and we've overcome. So think about the truths we've been told so far. Number one, you're forgiven. Own it. You're forgiven. Why? Quit being defeated. Because it isn't about you. He's been from the beginning. He's deity. He's God. The Jesus you followed is not a fairy tale. He's God. And then number three, here it is. He's overcome the enemy. You have overcome the enemy because of him. Let's look at the fourth one. Okay? Fourth truth here. Here's what he says. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Now, that English word "know" there leaves a lot out. What do you mean? Well, the word there actually means you know him experientially. What's he saying here? He's saying you need to be reminded that you personally know God the Father. You need to be reminded. What do you mean, reminded? You know what? I think sometimes we forget. What do you mean we forget? Well, here it is. So I'm constantly praying about stuff. Constantly praying about stuff. Constantly saying, Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to do that. I've got prayer journals. I got a little black book that I write things in that I think are even special and so forth. And I pray about stuff, and here's what I've noticed. God answers stuff, but I just keep praying about it. I don't spend time to think, thank you, Lord, maybe I do for a moment, but then I forget that he answered those prayers, that he got me through that, he carried us through that, he did that or another. But I forget. I keep forgetting, and I wonder, and then the next time a problem comes up, where are you, God? Are you going to help me through this? And I forget he got me through the last problem. I forget that I personally know him. I've experienced him. You say you're pathetic, George. Yeah, but some of you are too. Some of you are too, because you're doing the same thing. You're going to him, you're asking him to get you through this and get you through that, and he does. He maybe didn't do it the way you wanted him to it, but he did get you through it, and then he got you through it, and then the next thing comes up, oh Lord, are you there? You are forgetting something, that you are experiencing the living God who gives you grace day by day, peace day by day, who carries you through it and blesses you. You need to be reminded that you personally know God the Father. So that's why with my little black book now, I put little highlighter marks in there so that when I open it up, I'm confronted with, yeah, you answered that one, Lord. Yeah, you answered that one. Lord, I'm seeing an awful lot of answers here. Why am I worried about you? You've been there for me in the past. And you will get me through this one. You will be gracious to me. Because that has been my experience with you. Man, how easily we forget. How easily we forget. And so here he has to say it. You know what? Here it is. I'm writing you, children, because you know the Father. Like, does he really have to write that? Yes, because we got to be reminded, don't we? That we know him. And our God will get us through it. You know, so I'm 58, and I'm looking at things that, you know, Lori and I and our family with our kids and extended family and everything. I'm looking at, man, okay, we got these. How are we going to get through these decisions? And I'm forgetting, you know what? Think about it, George, just 20-some years ago, you're like, what am I going to do, Lord? And he got you through that. You didn't think he could. You still serve the same God. And he has shown himself to be nothing but faithful. Nothing but faithful. Let's look at another truth. Here it is. Look with me at verse 14. You say, it sounds like he's repeating himself here again, George. Well, sometimes he needs to repeat himself. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Yes, he's repeated himself. Here's the point. Here it is. Again, you need to be reminded that you know the eternal one, Jesus Christ. It isn't just that he's deity, he's always existed, will always exist. You need to be reminded that you have a relationship with the living God. And he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. You know him from the beginning. Remind yourself of that. Yeah, but you don't know how dark it is right now. I don't care how dark it is. He's light. He's the light. And he will carry you through it. He's done it before. He will do it again. Sometimes we need to be reminded that you know him who is from the beginning. You got something a lot of other people don't have. A lot of people right here in our own country, most of them don't have it. You have it. What's that? A relationship with the living God. They're existing without hope, clinging on to something that doesn't matter. But you have God. Two more things we need to look at here, okay? I want to be mindful of our time. I want you to notice with me again, verse 14. Actually, three things, George. Where are you coming from? Three things. Here it is. Look at verse 14. He says this. I write to you, young men. Here it is, first one, because you're strong. You need to be reminded that you're strong in the Lord. Really? Yeah. How many times have you said, I can't handle that? How many times have you said to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because I can't handle this. If I had something else happen and I'm done, I'm broke. And I'm not just talking about financially. You're broke emotionally, spiritually. You're broken because you think you're weak. And I'll be honest with you. Yep, your assessment's true. You are weak. Yep. And if it was just you on your own, you would fail. But you're not. You are strong in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to find your courage in him. That's why when scriptures come to mind, like I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Who's the one who strengthens you? Not 10 weeks at the gym. Might do some muscle work there, but I'm just being honest with you. That isn't going to necessarily get you through some of the things that you face that don't require muscles. You've got to be reminded that you're strong in the Lord. And the world will throw everything at you. But your strength lies not in yourself, but in Him. Let's again look at the next one. Here's number 7. Look at me. He says, you are, verse 14, I'm writing to you, young men, because you are strong. Here's the other one. The Word of God abides in you. Here it is. You need to be reminded that the Word of God abides in you. The Word of God abides in you. You know, there's a reason why we give you Bible reading plans, okay? So like this week, our Bible reading plan on the YouVersion Bible app is moving from hurting to healing. 4-day plan, okay? There's a reason why we tell you to get a Bible reading plan in the back. And right now, in my personal time, I'm up into Luke. I'm in the Gospel of Luke. There's a reason why we tell you to get a daily bread and read the scripture and be encouraged, because we want God's word to abide in you. Why? Because David said this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto your word. That's what David wrote in Psalm 119. The point is that God's word abides in me. It strengthens me. It guides me. I'm telling you, there's not a week that goes by when I face something that, because I have immersed myself in God's word, He speaks to me through His word. How? He brings to mind scripture that helps me right in a situation where I know, okay, Lord, you already told me about that. I know how to respond now. You need to be reminded. You need to be reminded that God's word, it isn't just reading something. You know, I've read books through the years. I remember as a kid, I used to like to read Louis L'Amour books. I used to read lots of them. I would go through a Louis L'Amour book in a day in those days. In fact, I read more Louis L'Amour books than my school books, to be honest with you, when I was a teenager. But I don't remember any of them anymore. None of them. I don't remember any of the storylines. Might remember a title or two, but a title or two, there's nothing there. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been in God's word now 38 years. And who I am today, because of what it does to me and transforms me, is because I've been in His word. And it abides. It takes root in your life. And you need to be reminded of that. There's one more truth. And again, you say, why is he repeating himself? Well, here it is. Look with me, verse 14. He says, I write to you, young man, okay, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. And here it is, the repeat. And you have overcome the evil one. Now, here's the encouragement. Here it is. You need to be reminded that you've overcome Satan. So just like we need to be reminded that we've known him from the beginning, you need to be reminded that you've overcome Satan. Why? I find, to be honest with you, that, and rightfully so, it's good. Christians are so disturbed by the darkness of this world. We can get so defeated that we forget something. And what we forget is that by coming to Christ in faith, you have overcome the enemy. What does that mean? One day, Jesus Christ will vanquish him. He will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And you will experience the full victory as you are with Christ forever. Ever. You don't have to be fearful of this evil world in which we live in, because you have overcome it. And I just was reading in Luke this week, Jesus said they can kill your body, but that's all they can do to you. You have me. You've overcome. So hang in there. This is what he's doing. This is what John is doing. He said, okay, let's go back. Let's kind of get a bigger picture here. He's saying, look, I'm telling you, from the beginning, it's Jesus. He's the main thing. And because of that, we want to walk in the light. And so therefore, because of that, you got to deal with your sin. Because if you're not dealing with your sin, you're lying to yourself. But then, okay, let me just tell you, don't sin. If you do sin, you have an advocate. Then he says, okay, but listen, we want to do what's right. We want to walk in obedience. Why? Loving each other. But if you hate someone, you're lying to yourself. And again, he comes along with some affirmations of truth to remind us, number one, what? You've been forgiven, not for you, but because of Jesus. You've known him from the beginning. You know the eternal one. You know Jesus Christ as deity. You've overcome the enemy. You've got the word of God abiding in you. You're strong in him. All of those things are written so that why? You just keep going on one day at a time. Because that's all you're promised, isn't it? I mean, really, let's be honest. That's all your promises one day at a time. He didn't promise us 10 years. He didn't promise you even a week. He told you when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. He's not promising you, but he's saying, for today, I'm doing these things for you. Hang in there. Be strong. Let God's word abide in your life. Trust in his forgiveness. You've overcome. Be who you need to be. And that's important. Why? Because in the next section, he's going to tell you, hold on loosely. What do you mean? In the next section, right after this, starting in verse 15, he's going to tell you, don't love this world. Hold on loosely. And he's just given you the foundation to be able to do that with these truths. So here's what I want to encourage you with, folks. Keep looking to him. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who's given you victory. Look to him. Find your rest in him. That's what he wants you to understand. Let me pray for you.